Okay, so we're going to take up the next chapter in the book we've been looking into, Flowers Fall, a commentary on Zen Master Dogen's Genjo Koan by Hakuin Yasutani Roshi. So it's a book of commentaries by Yasutani on this famous tract by Dogen called Genjo Koan. And we have worked our way up to the third chapter of this book. And I'm going to start by reading, which in the book is italicized at the top of the first page of the chapter, the statement, the writings of Dogen from the Genjo Koan. So we come up to this paragraph. Now, just as a preamble to this, you might say that this is the ultimate, the distillation of Dogen's essential teachings and the profound meaning of the practice that he promoted and developed, which is called Shikantaza, just intense sitting. So I'll read you the statement. Carrying the self forward to confirm the existence of the myriad dharmas is delusion. The myriad dharmas advancing and confirming the existence of the self is realization. So that's this translation. I actually think this translation is, it may be more precise, but it isn't quite as understandable or graspable as another translation that is in Zen Dust, which is a book written by two Zen masters from the Rinzai tradition. They were quoting Dogen as one of the little koan in this book. And this line was taken as a koan, and the way that they put it, I'm trying to remember it exactly, is using oneself to experience the coming of the myriad dharmas is delusion. Using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience the self is enlightenment. It's a little different. It's the same meaning. Just the words are a little easier. This first translation, I don't care for the, they have a bracketed parenthesis to add in the words to make it more understandable, the existence of, so it says carrying the self forward to confirm the existence of the myriad dharmas is delusion. Myriad dharmas advancing, confirming the existence of the self as realization. It's a little bit wrong, because as the sixth patriarch put it from the very beginning, not a single thing has ever existed, stood outside. So there's a little subtle dividing line in that first translation, but the second one, I'll recite it one more time. It goes like this. Using the coming of the myriad dharmas, that's dharma with a small d, it means all the little momentary, ever-changing sensations, events, feelings, thoughts, everything. The whole panoply of occurrence in the center of the universe where you are in this moment. So using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience, using oneself to experience the coming of the myriad dharmas is delusion. Using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience oneself is enlightenment. So I'm going to just read a little bit now from the commentary of Yasutani Roshi, and I may stop pretty quickly and maybe even critique it a little bit. So he writes, here the matter of delusion and realization is shown from the standpoint of manifest absolute reality. It's all right to apply this to our practical understanding of how to live in the world, but ultimately the question of application is secondary. It does not have the primacy of the Dharma of manifest absolute reality. So I'm going to be a little critical here. I think this Zen master is actually being unnecessarily abstruse. He's speaking in a certain culture-bound way, perhaps a Japanese Zen way, that uses a kind of a lofty logic that is confusing to someone who doesn't know precisely what he means. And he could say this all very directly, maybe in 4 or 5 words. So it's as if to say, if I confuse you with my words, you'll understand this better. And I think that's not correct. I'll read on a little bit. So the whole of the Genjo Koan from here on has the sense of being an elaboration of the first paragraph of, I presume he means of the Zen Genjo Koan, but perhaps he means what he just wrote about the matter of delusion and enlightenment being shown from the standpoint of manifest absolute reality. Doesn't make it clear. The whole of the Genjo Koan from here on has the sense of being an elaboration of the first paragraph. It is by no means just a miscellaneous collection of teachings randomly strung together. In this passage, Dogen Zenji clearly and concisely points out the content of that, quote, delusion and realization in the opening passage, when all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there are delusion and enlightenment, end of quote. So I think he is referring to the first paragraph of the Genjo Koan. He goes on and says, delusion and realization is the fundamental problem of the Buddha Dharma. The word delusion and the word realization, as they are commonly used, have tremendous differences in depth and scope. We commonly say such things as climbing the mountain, I lost my way, or I lost myself over a woman. Then we also say such things as, I realize that alcohol is no good, or I truly realize that up until now I've been fooled by a superstition. But the words delusion and realization, as they are used in the Buddha Dharma, have a qualitatively different meaning from delusion and realization. This is also something I'm explaining for the sake of beginners. Once again, I think that explanation is very confusing. I'm not sure why he puts that in the book. Not sure why. He goes on in a similar vein, and it wasn't until a little further on, and I'll probably skip to there, that I thought he was saying something that would shed light on these incredible, wonderful words by Dogen. So he says here, the myriad dharmas advancing and confirming the nature of the self is enlightenment. When the deluded dream of ego breaks up, you become aware of the fact that all existence is the self. Quote, there is no self in the sage. Because there is no self, there is nothing which is not self. Quote, snatch away the person, but not the objective world. That's one of the four manners of teaching that Rinzai was famous for having. And one of them was what he called, Rinzai called, snatch away the person, but not the objective world. So let me explain that. Delusion is the arbitrary dividing line made in one's mind between sensations that one identifies with and sensations that one believes are, quote, outside or standing outside. So someone may have a sensation of me. We all have that sensation. If we are fooled by this sensation of me into believing that there actually is an entity standing apart from the objective world called me, that there is a real me there, and that the objective world, as it comes, as various experiences come, are outside, that's delusion. So what Rinzai does in some of his teaching methods, they may be subtle, they may be a certain koan that he's utilizing, is he snatches away from the deluded individual, the monk, the belief that the sensations that this monk are identifying as me are actually an entity at all. But he doesn't take away the sensations. He doesn't take away the sound in the room. He doesn't take away the smell of the incense. In other words, those things just are. And the notion that there is an entity standing apart, which is based upon a long-held misconception that some sensations in one's field of sensations actually constitute a self, he takes away. So he calls that, snatch away the person, but not the objective world. Now this is precisely what Dogen is saying here. He's saying, using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience oneself is enlightenment. That is, in a sense, snatching away the person, but leaving the objective world. In other words, he's saying, if you want to experience your true self, not the self you've arbitrarily split off from the fabric of sensation in your center of the universe, then you can just simply experience all the sensations as yourself. And that is realization. So I'll go on a little bit here. And I'm going to get back to that. I won't leave you hanging on that one. So Yasutani Roshi here is writing, it's all objective world. There is no self. It's all objective world. There is no self. In saying that, in a sense, there's no longer any objective world. Because objective means one's object, means something outside. So if there's just sound, just incense smell, you can't say that's objective, you can't say that's subjective. All you can say is, like that. As many as Zen koan, for which something like that is a demonstration of one's grasp of that koan. So, once again, Yasutani goes on, quote, simply forgetting all about one's own body and mind, leaping into the family of the Buddha, one acts from the side of the Buddhas. When you go along in this way without either exerting your strength or exhausting your mind, you part from birth and death and attain Buddhahood, end of quote. There's quoting someone here, there's a little footnote which I'm not going to search for. So he says here, parting from birth and death means parting from delusion. Attaining Buddhahood means the unfolding of enlightenment. Okay. So, once again, I'm going to be so bold and presumptuous as to say I'm not happy with the commentaries of Yasutani on this particular line. Now, I'm going to tackle it in order to try to make it a little more clear. So, this using oneself to experience the myriad dharmas, using oneself. What exactly is one using? What is one using when he uses the term using oneself? Now we get what that is, using oneself, because we use oneself to brush our teeth, comb our hair, make breakfast, walk out the door, start the car, go to work, talk to other selves. So this is the ordinary experience of what the Buddha himself called sentient beings. So the Buddha made a distinction between Buddhas and sentient beings. And all the Buddhist teachers since then, all the Buddhist teachings, make a distinction between Buddhas, which once again are beings depicted by the Chinese pictogram of two sheaves of wheat lashed together, tied together. So a Buddha is a unitary, it's a one thing. An sentient being is a being that feels, or a being that knows. So sentience means to feel or to know. So the sentient being is one who uses oneself to experience the coming of the myriad dharmas. And this is the ordinary state of the human being, one we're most familiar with, one that seems quite acceptable and sane, but which actually is, from the standpoint of Buddhist teaching, a delusion. Now, why? What is it that one's using? It says, using oneself. If you look into that question very deeply, you can't find anything fixed or specific. All you find are memories, feelings, emotions, sensations, thoughts and attachments, opinions, all these things that in one big bundle we name me. And there's something in the depth of that, there's like a kernel of it, which is a sensation of me. That sensation of me, perhaps we could call it a little knot of anxiety, a little tightness of holding back, a little self-consciousness of feeling like one is being observed by other me's. So it's a subtle thing, but we use that to experience the coming of the myriad dharmas. And this is delusion. Now, remember Dogen had a question for his master in China. He came with his, you could call this a Genjo Koan, meaning his fundamental root question, the one that bothered him and kept him awake at night, the one that drove him to seek after teachers and try to plumb the depths of Buddhism. And his question was this. He had deep faith and he had read the scriptures and the sutras. Why, if Buddhism teaches that all beings are originally awakened, they originally have Buddha nature, this is a birthright, it's not something you have to go and attain, why did all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Mahasattvas have to struggle so hard to realize that? It's a profound question. You think about it. It's kind of like saying, why are we born to suffer? Why, if our birthright is this unitary oneness with all of existence, do we not immediately see it that way and have to struggle so hard? This practice is difficult in many ways. His teacher said to him, the reason is that they were conscious of their enlightenment. They were conscious of their enlightenment. In another way, you could paraphrase that. Because they were using their selves to experience the coming of the myriad dharmas. The myriad dharmas are your awakening, are your enlightenment. When you use yourself to experience them, you're conscious of your awakening. It's hard to put that habit down. It's the purpose of Zazen. It's actually the essence of Shikantaza. It's to plunge into the moment-by-moment flow of your sensations with great attentiveness. So attentive that even the feeling of yourself is seen as one more flowing sensation, not apart from, not divided from, all the other dharmas in your field of experience. And if you persist for a long time, this becomes evident. It may become evident suddenly, it may become evident gradually. If it becomes evident suddenly, the old habit pattern of using oneself to experience the myriad dharmas comes back. One has to persist, 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 but that's part of the training. And at one point, one begins to really get that this is not philosophical. This statement, using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience oneself as enlightenment, that is not philosophical. That is actually a condition. Using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience oneself is enlightenment, is realization. That's a condition. It's a condition that in Zazen we actually enter. we may dimly see it, we may not see it at all, we may still be caught with some identification, with thinking, some idea of a self, but we are already at one with this coming of the myriad dharmas. That's our birthright. And by doing shikantaza, by taking the posture, by allowing the attention to the actuality of one's moment, one is actually expressing, shining that, whether or not one knows it. That's another statement by Dogen somewhere else. He said that the genuine zazen of the beginner is no different than the genuine zazen of a Buddha. It's the same. Now, there's a word in Zen to describe this state of shikantaza, this condition of using the coming of the myriad dharmas to experience oneself. And this condition is in Zen called just. Just. Just walking. Just hearing. Just smelling incense. Sure, there's a thoughts going on, memories, there's a body here, there's a feeling of me, but how is that in any way separate from incense smell? It's all one fabric. So as we persist in this zazen, we become more and more readily able to fall into that condition, to experience it. It's in a sense childlike. The child gets lost in the a field of daisies they're running through. I remember so many times in childhood just getting completely immersed in something, engrossed in something, where the notion of an entity standing apart just wasn't there. It's so hard for us grown-ups to come back to that place. And that is exactly what this practice of zazen, and particularly shikantaza, is unleashing for us. So, it's a bit of a shorter talk, but I think I don't want to beat a dead horse, and we've said it all for now, so we'll end here now.